She's the bitch goddess of the North, Canada's voice of liberal guilt, and the only woman to never have been loved by Julio Iglesias, Nancy White.
Good evening, bonsoir. Welcome to Montreal, and for those of you who are from all the way from Finland and places like that, welcome to Canada. Bienvenue au Canada, au Québec, et au Montréal. It's an honor for me, naturally, to be singing, taking part in the celebration of the works of Leonard Cohen tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'll put this down. We're going to sing some Leonard Cohen songs and some songs about Leonard Cohen and a few songs of mine that I think are sort of Cohen-esque in a curious way. I mean, if you twist it, really, you can make a connection. That's what I'm going to do tonight. We're going to start On va commencer avec une chanson. D'amour. This is a Montreal song, a song about love, and what a place this was for someone like Leonard Cohen to grow up in, because he would see day to day the different kinds of love, particularly the difference between French love and English love. While I do this song, my piano player Bob Johnson, or Dominic as I call him, will supply a translation. This song is based on something a real French guy said to me many, many years ago. Many years ago, he said to me, "Say now, l'amour doit être."
Love must be.
Un peu cochon.
A little bit piggy.
Tu m'avais dit.
You told me that.
Il y a longtemps.
A long time ago.
L'amour doit être pour un Français.
Love must be for a French guy.
Un peu cochon.
A little bit piggy.
J'ai dit, je sais.
I said, yeah, I noticed.
Mais tu dois être une vieille salope.
Must play the role of an old slut.
Qui m'en a fait l'autostop.
That I picked up hitchhiking in the Carré Boulevard.
Tu es féroce, insatiable.
You are fierce and insatiable.
Je dis, es-tu, je suis formidable.
I said, oink, oink.
Mais pour moi, l'amour est autre chose.
For me, love is something else.
La pureté, la main avec la rose.
It is purity, the lover with the rose.
Les dents brossées.
The teeth brushed.
La douche avant.
Shower before.
La douche après.
Shower after.
La douche durant.
Shower during.
C'est la douche là, la blancheur est en terre.
The sweetness, white as lace.
Bien arrangé et presque ponctuel.
Regular as clockwork, Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Mais comme je t'ai si folle, toi.
Because I was so crazy about you.
Sans hésiter, j'ai dit ah oui, ah oui, pour moi, pour moi.
Without hesitating, I said yes, yes, for me. Love must be more than piggy.
C'était la corde de Napoléon.
That was the Napoleonic quote.
Il écrivait à Josephine.
Remember what he wrote to Josephine?
Ne baigne pas, j'arrive, calling the baby.
Don't bathe, I'm coming over!
Translation and who gets it anyway. Yes, I'd like to bring on our third member of the band tonight. This is Matt Zimbel, ladies and gentlemen. Matt broke my heart by leaving Toronto and moving to Montreal for reasons which, if you've been both places, is not necessary to explain. But Matt has actually played with Leonard Cohen on television and in a live show, so he'll perhaps tell you a little bit about that a little later on. So we are going to do a Leonard song. This is another translation, oddly enough. This is Leonard's translation of the Frédérique. Darcy Lorca-Pullman. Take this gloves. If you want to sing along, that's fine then. Quite popular with the sisters all over the country. I was expecting my second child at the time. People always tell you that you can have one child and still have some kind of a life, but that once you have two, you're mom, and that's pretty much it. And I was feeling a little depressed because I thought, well, that's it for me. I'm not going to climb Mount Everest. No, I was about 11 months pregnant at the time. Never climb Mount Everest. I'll never bungee jump into the Grand Canyon. And I may never even find out. I was trying to ask you, Matt, about Montreal equivalent to, I may never find out if it's worth the drive to Acton. Not an Ontario reference, but I don't know. Where do people go? At home?
On the Sheen Road.
Uh-huh. I may never make it to Upper Lachine Road. We need an international reference. I don't know what it would be. I'll just carry on. Anyway, I was blue. And I thought, well, it's silly to wallow in that, and I thought I'd cheer myself up. And I had just bought the latest Leonard Cohen album. And I see you don't think it's odd to cheer yourself up by listening to a Leonard Cohen album, but many people think it is. This goes back to the condition of pregnancy that's described in the medical books as gravis senilis. They're not still Latin words, so those of you who speak other language finally knew what I said. Gravis senilis is the senility of pregnancy. And I asked someone once, does the gravis senilis go away after you have the baby? And she said, well, it just kind of morphs into something called mom rot. And then this woman in Vancouver told me there's a theory that the brains exit with the placenta. Have you heard this? Well, because of my gravis senilis, I had chosen Leonard to cheer me up. And he was singing, I'm the one who brought your groceries in. And I'm thinking, I've never met Leonard Cohen, and I guess I never will. And if I do, it'll be so he can autograph a book of poems for my daughters. It's not how we want to meet Leonard Cohen, is it, my sisters? I think so. Well, I'm sure the interest is academic. So I wrote this song of middle-aged angst, and it's on an album that I have called Omnipotent Songs for Weary Parents, which I believe is for sale. I was listening to music as I swept the kitchen floor. I was needing a shampoo and I was pushing 44. I had one of those insights that hit you now and then about experience monkey and certain sadly missing men. And I realized in horror as I stroked my double chin, Leonard Cohen's never gonna bring my groceries in. There's one thing I regret, and my regret is genuine. Leonard Cohen's never gonna bring my groceries in. Oh, Leonard and me, together we'd be great. Strumming our guitars and singing songs for the good late. Well, not too late these days, I can't afford about 11. But for a little while, it would be heaven. Song of coffee strong and bitter, that is Jarko. Jarko's got his number. Call Jarko. Email Jarko. Okay, we get the number, and then let him come and babysit. And Beavis and I can go to Canadian Tire and buy a new club for the minivan. That's what I really want to do. This is my turn to drive a sitter home tonight, isn't it?
You should finish that story though, Nancy, with the autograph picture you got.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is so nice. Yes, I haven't met Leonard Cohen, but before I recorded that song, I sent it to his office to get permission because I thought he might not mind, but there's so many quotes in it that maybe his publisher would give me a rough time, so I sent it off, and I did eventually hear from him, and I got permission to record it, and I sent it to him later on. And then when I had a certain special birthday a couple years ago, my brother-in-law thought it'd be so great if Leonard Cohen would send her a birthday greeting, as if, anyway, he went to the library in Stratford and found the address of the management company and phoned them. And I'm not trying to give you ideas here because I'm sure he's very busy. However, he phoned them and they said, well, if you fax him, you know, maybe he would do it. So Kevin faxed him, and on my birthday, this fax came up, and it said there was a wonderful line drawing of Leonard Cohen's face, and it said, Leonard Cohen, angry at 11. And underneath it, someone had, with a beautiful handwriting, had written, because you won't let me bring your groceries in, please reconsider, I'm getting tired of holding the bag, warmest regards, Leonard Cohen. Can't you die? I could die. Well, I thought my manager had sent it to me. I thought, what a good gag, that's hilarious. And then I looked at the top of the fax and it said Stranger Music. And I thought, well, Campbell Webster would go to great lengths, you know, to get a good laugh, but I don't think he changed the logo on the fax. So it was really from Leonard Cohen. Can you imagine? So I was very, I can't believe someone that busy would do that. So, you know, there's a certain streak of graciousness and kindness in this man. And hey, cool, I guess you like it. What am I saying? All right, now I'm going to do a little number together, a little poem. When I was getting ready to do this, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a Cuban guy who works as a translator in Toronto, and he happened to mention that about 10 years ago he had translated a lot of Leonard Cohen's poems into Spanish for a magazine in Cuba called Opción. And I thought I would, I have them all, if anyone wants to have a look. And I thought I would read one. I want to call my concert Leonard Light, L-I-T-E. And I've been looking for some entertaining Leonard Cohen phrases. Because people think he's very dark, but I guess it's kind of a comic performer I look for. I consider everyone a comic performer. I think very, very entertaining. Listen to this line. Disguised as a hat, I will rip off your eyebrows. Christ, I wish I'd written that. Guys with a hat. Yeah. But anyway, here's the poem, and it's a poema, and it's translated by Heriberto Fajes. Okay, and that's going to give me some Latin. This is an example, and this is so perfect in our country, where half the cab drivers are PhD people, right? Neurosurgeons in their own country. Matt Zimmel is a Latin percussionist. He was one of the leaders of Manteca, the fabulous Latin band, and so he's a little bit underused tonight, but I still wanted to play with him because he used to be a band. I used to be a band called Professional Help, and he was in that, and I just lives around the corner, so it was a good chance to work. So I will let him do a little bit of Latin playing on this poem. Okay, hit. Beside your body while hear his throat outside the door. I get rid of the lizard. Must be a James Morrison reference that would be. Anyway, I get rid of the lizard.
Not a guy thing.
Yeah. I get rid of the lizard. I eschew the philosopher's stone. I bury my girlfriend. Now here's the interesting part. I remove my personality from the line so that I am permitted to use the first person as often as I wish without offending my appetite for modesty. Is that not cool? That's very interesting, because he does write in first person so often. So it's not really him. Hey, he's just created a character. Cool. I do that. Then I resign. I do errands for my mother or someone like her. I eat too much. This is exactly what I do. So Leonard and I are really very similar kind of writers. One verse, one snack. One verse, one snack. Except when I might come home for lunch and then I go to anything more for a couple of days. I eat too much. Here's a good one, Matt and Bobby, like this. I blame those closest to me for ruining my talent. Then you come to me, the joyous news is mine. Interesting, anyway. So, this is a song I wrote about someone else, but I'll dedicate it to Suzanne and Marianne and Rebecca and Alice and Kate and all the women who have inspired Leonard Cohen over the years. I'm sure some of them like it, and I'm sure some of them feel like the woman in this song. It's called He Wrote Too Many Songs, and I just wrote them. Thank you. is that anybody's number?
Should I interview you, or can we just get right in?
I think I can get right into it, but this must stay in this room. Very private matter. This has to be taken very seriously. We're talking about things. Leonard and I are brothers, because we are both members of the American Federation of Musicians.
You're my brother too, sister.
Yes. So there's actually somebody in this room who can attest to this story, actually two people who can attest to this story. In 1993, I played on a program. This is not in most Canadian musicians' CVs, and you'll know why in a second. I was the band leader with Doug Wilde on the Ralph McMurray Show. That's one line admitted from most people's CVs in this country. But we were very proud of what we did on that show. We had a great time. The highlight of the season in 93 was the opportunity to play with Leonard. I had met him once before because I interviewed him in 1988 for a show I did on CBC called Wired, and we had a wonderful time together. When he was invited to do the show, the Ralph McMurray Show, he had just finished The Future and had not yet put the band on the road and had not yet toured, so he was quite nervous about coming out on the road to do a TV show with a live band because they hadn't kind of shaken the tunes out from the studio versions. So originally the producers came to us and said that he was going to do it with track. And we were, of course, very disappointed in that, but never take no for an answer. And I wrote him a letter, and I sent him some examples of what the band sounded like. And in a week, word came back that he was going to play with us. So we were delighted about this. We then found out which two tunes we were going to do, rehearsed them inside and out for about 3 days, so we knew them backwards and forwards. And I briefed the band that when Leonard and the other musicians who were playing with Leonard arrived at the studio to do the show, that the band was to feign complete and utter ignorance of the songs, to know nothing about the arrangements, to ask all kinds of stupid questions. Look at the chart and they go, after the second verse, do we go to the third verse? And Leonard was a bit traumatized by this because the night before they had done the first performance on the Letterman show, and he was explaining to us in the green room prior to the rehearsal that Letterman's band, as good as they were, hadn't really bothered to learn the changes to his song. So he's a little nervous, and the band played along with my plan and asked all kinds of dumb questions. And then he turned to us and he says, well, French, should we try this? And we did, and it was like, 3, 4, and we nailed it to the wall. And he was, he couldn't believe it. He turned around and like, what? So it was a great moment for him because I think that, you know, he had a feeling that that the songs would work live, and that he was very reassured by that, because oftentimes after you do a record, and I'm putting words in his mouth here, maybe Kelly and Leanne can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he just was really quite satisfied with the fact that the tunes actually played live, and he we had a wonderful time working with them. And that's my story, and we'll stay in this room because we use that trick quite often.
I actually have a video of Leonard on the Ralph McMurray Show, and maybe we could get him to put it into the video room.
You
asked
one question. Sure. What was the song?
We did Closing Time in the Future.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was a great interview as well. Nancy, can I do Doug Wilde's impersonation of keyboards with Leonard on that Doug's day?
Doug's my ex-husband actually was the co-leader with that band. So Doug.
So if you bring the camera in a close-up of my hand, this is. And Doug thoroughly enjoyed his time, and he said this was his experience playing keyboard with Leonard.
We also did the peace sign with one hand.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, Leonard, of course, is a writer who's very concerned with spiritual issues, as am I, and I'd like to do one of my songs that's got a little more religious content than some of them. Those of you from Canada will have enjoyed the wonderful story of a couple summers ago when the face of Jesus appeared on the wall of the Tim Hortons in Red Orchid, right? I don't know, for those not from Canada, Tim Hortons is more than just a donut shop. Tim Hortons was started by a hockey player, a beloved hockey player, quite a fighter, I hear. happened to know about Tim Horton, but he was killed in a car accident before anybody else could do it to a bicycle. And there are, well, no, I don't know.
He loved donuts, so
he loved the donuts and he loved to hit people, so I mean, he's a good one. Yes,
I just have one question.
Only one question.
Do you think it's really a good idea in terms of marketing to important that if the owner of your company had been killed in a horrific crash at 175 miles an hour on the QEW, that you would market something called Timbits?
Do you all hear that? It's not as good. The limit of running donuts are called Timbits, and then from this kind of a mortgage sort of thing. And plus, they will kill you because they're really small and they've got a lot of. They have a fat all around them. It's like everybody in the donut is immersed in it, so you can shoot it right into your arm and bypass the arena completely. So it's a very popular donut shop in Canada. In fact, Moncton, I guess, is the capital. Moncton is a fairly small town in the Maritimes. They have 20 Tim Hortons. I drove to Charlottetown PEI. We had we used to do a song called Six Tim Horton Town when we sang in Charlottetown, but they had six. Actually, right after I wrote the song, they opened another one. So, similarly, that's the curse of the topical songwriter, which I have been sort of in some circumstances, that's what I am. And I was actually writing a song about this miracle at Tim Hortons, and right was Brodeur, Cape Breton is a very small community, and this miracle, the face of Jesus on Tim Hortons, brought thousands of people. It was just a real fat calf for the tourism industry. Easier to maintain than the heavy water plants and not as messy as the mines. And certainly they have often thought that if that had appeared in PEI, we would have made a theme park, right? At the Tim Horton and Jesus theme park in PEI. But Cape Breton, I'm so honest, about a week after it happened and the national media was there and some employee was sent out to the parking lot to change a certain light bulb and the face disappeared. I was, hello. What I love about these stories, like the stigmata stories and weeping statues and so forth, is you know, how dismayed the Catholic Church gets and really embarrassed in the face of actual faith, somebody believes in Jesus, I don't know what we're going to say about this, but a miracle, anyway, so I continued. I wrote my song about Jesus at Tim's, and I don't know if I need to explain the game. I'm just not going to babble on anymore. I'll be happy to meet you in the lobby and translate this song into many languages. Not finished. Can't get it finished. A little Spanish, a little French. And 1 year of high school training, a long time ago, Auf Gala Ein. A little further than Auf Gala Ein. But Carlos Anne's brother, Anne is Carl Schwester. You also remember lesson one, isn't that interesting? It's like the date. You remember the first date and the last date. That's, I'm really digressing. Lennon would never digress. Wow. That's all Lennon concept was. It was so good that it was like choreographed. It was beautiful. We're at Dodgers with him. Don't get to hear banjo and compass together too often, but I hope you're going to take advantage of this mystic experience. I was driving to Cape Breton on a cold September night. The CBC announcer described an awesome sight. Cause the folks to cross themselves and cause a jaws and drum. The face that Jesus had appeared and a red orb got the shout. You see, now has met the cleaners and Hendrix up the zoo. And aliens ate my uncle, but this is something new. I figure when our Savior needs worry from all the foreign hands. He's just like all our sinners. Tim and Jesus met to heaven and they hit it off just fine. Tim showed him how to body check and Jesus made some wine. He said, I would not try to make him, not that kind of guy. But I could walk on water. Tim said, what are you so wrong? He wants to love the wind, drink like a robot, save your soul. Teach your love, don't hurt and destroy. Well, he could have gone to Rita's, but the stars suit. He could have gone on a liquor check his way across the street. He was picking off the Beatles. He was looking for a sign. But some musician told the man Tim Hortons was a shrine.
Thank you.
I didn't hear it. Someone told me about one of the great heckles of all time. Leonard Cohen years ago was playing in the O'Keefe Center in Toronto, and after about a half an hour of performing, someone said in the back,
"You know any Dylan?"
Here's a song I thought I'd just like to do for you, and I... Thanks for mentioning it. So, I'm angry. Think about it. So sad as the girl is in for. I connected this. I tried to connect this song with a Leonard thing, and I was thinking of that line in the Joan of Arc song, a wedding dress or something white to wear upon my swollen appetite. And I thought that phrase, swollen appetite, really connects well with this particular song. This is about President Mitterrand's last meal. Did anybody see that piece in Esquire magazine? It was an extraordinary piece of journalism. Because President Mitterrand was dying of stomach cancer, and he decided to, for his last blast, I suppose, he organized a banquet with a bunch of his friends, and it was an amazing meal. The pièce de résistance of this meal was the serving of a little tiny songbird called the Ortolan, which is, they say, the soul of France. And it's very small, it's the size of a man's thumb, and it's absolutely illegal to hunt this bird or kill this bird or eat this bird in France. So for his last act, the president did a little anarchistic thing. I mean, why not? But it was so, this is French. This mermaid thing. So I'm glad we didn't have to go directly for the Tim Horton donut song. It reflects badly on our culture and the theaters, you know what I mean? But this is quite a little story, and I've condensed it into a song called Mitterrand's Last Meal. He sent for his favorite chef and whispered in his ear, "Please prepare a feast," he said, "a memorable repast, a meal to be a monument, a meal to be my last. Don't want no pizza, don't want no sushi, don't want no cornflakes, don't want no bread. It's got to be crunchy, it's got to be illegal. Bring me that songbird they call the Ortolan. When you're president of France, the waters tend to part. No one questioned the desires of his failing heart. Chosen guests were thinking, who are I, the lucky one? Mitterrand was wielded and the banquet was begun. Don't want no pizza, don't want no sushi, don't want no croque monsieur, don't want no bread. It's gotta be crunchy, it's got to be illegal. Bring me that songbird they call the Ortolan. 8 days before death, most folks are hooked to an IV. But when the oysters came, he sucked back 32 or 3. Fell into exhausted sleep, the guests they turned away. And by God, a miracle, he woke for the pate. Don't want no pizza, don't want no sushi, don't want no poor dogs, don't want no bread. It's got to be fresh, it's got to be illegal. Bring me that somber they call the Ortolan. Capons were served, they tasted fine. And oh mon Dieu, imagine the wine, imagine the wine. To prepare the Ortolan, it takes a special knack. You fatten them in darkness, then you drown them in cognac. Eating them's against the laws of France, it's quite taboo. But all the guests they talk right in the Mitterrand name too. Don't want a pizza, don't want no sushi, don't want no Nanaimo bars, don't want no bread. It's got to be crunchy, it's got to be illegal. Bring me that songbird they call the Ortolan. This bird, it tastes like nothing else on earth, or so they say. They ate with napkins on their heads, so the fragrance wouldn't get away. Don't want no pizza, don't want no sushi, don't want no cornflakes, the buffalo bread. He had a little hunger, he had a little yen. He ate the tiny songbird and never ate again. Mitterrand's mistresses who said, "Il a toujours laissé les lunettes, he always left his glasses on. That was exciting for me. That and the vous voyage. Like he would address them as vous instead of tu, you know?
I always leave my socks on. Women find that very
sexy. Apparently men are driven mad by the smell of cinnamon buns. Have you ever heard that? Someone took a survey about scents that aroused guys. Cinnamon buns? Number one. So that's what I'm wearing. You know, I should get a Shopper's Drug Mart. Pardon? Okay.
No. Oh, okay. What should we cut?
Conference here.
Okay. Well, I think we should cut.
Sure.
Okay. Sorry, Matt.
There's one little line from Mr. Cohen that I really liked. I thought I might mention before I did this little song. What is it? Just part of, fragment from a journal, but the best part is, I lit a stick of incense. I sat down on a small cushion, crossing my legs in a full lotus. For over an hour, I thought about how much I hated one of my ex-wives. So much wrong. No one's wonder, that's what I would do, so. And then from the same thing as this lovely little line, the beach was full of beautiful young women whom I desired uniformly at a very low intensity. This is a song about someone who desired the young woman at a higher intensity. And she was so damn young. She was so damn hot. And he didn't give a damn if he got caught. He was in too deep, he was losing sleep, and he knew that it was gonna end badly. He was one possessed, he was one damn fool, and he knew the girl was 1 year out of school. There was danger there, but he didn't care, and he knew that it was gonna end.
Thank you.
Last fall, I got a call from Bill Richardson from Richardson's Roundup on CBC Radio, and he told me that Leonard was turning 65, and he wanted if I would write a celebratory song. So I thought that Leonard was still up in the, like we're in touch, right? I thought Mr. Cohen was still up on Mount Baldy, and I really thought he should come down, because there are too few guys in the world who really like women, so it seemed a shame that he wasn't around. So that's what this song is called. Get down off that.
And when you hear the clouds of thought, you're mistaken for love.
blanket and the summer night, fragrant with electrolytes, which taste of relief. So we struggle and we stagger down snakes and the ladders to the tower in less than a hundred jaunt. And I swear I have to just like this to sign. My heart is to make the love a confidence. And so much has happened in the close of time. Well, I swear I have to just like this to sign. My heart is to make the love a confidence. I can't say much has happened since. Except the name of the time.